Bone-chilling greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of the lovely Bobby Mackey out of Kentucky and the amazing Stick the Landing out of Chicago. And I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen or wherever you are listening from the tiniest of villages to the largest of cities, to tropical paradise, to desolate desert, and everything in between, it's greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Miramar Beach, Florida, Shanghai, China, Pine Island, Minnesota, Millington, Tennessee, Nola, Spain, and Muscatine, Iowa. Today we find ourselves at Lake Lanier in Georgia. This man-made lake was named after poet and Confederate soldier Sidney Lanier. It's large in size, 38,000 acres worth, spanning in five different counties, and it's just 8 miles shy, mind you, of 700 miles worth of shoreline. In fact, it is so large that it remains one of the largest of its kind in the United States. Ah, the old man-made lake. So this lake was made by the United States Army Corps of Engineers. They broke ground in 1950, and it would be completed circa 1954. Now, millions of people, they come to enjoy this beautiful area every single year. It's around 10 to 11 million people. While many have came here and have had a blast and got to go home, several people would breathe their last breath here. Several hundred have died here throughout the years. Many who visit the area and do not know the history of Lake Lanier would be absolutely shocked to know that a town once stood here. In fact, it is this now extinct town that is the cause of many people's deaths. More on that very soon. I'd like to talk a little bit about the historic town, the once historic town of Oscarville. Known as a historical black town, Oscarville was where the African American community could not only go and thrive, but they felt safe in a not so safe time. While some white people did live here, the majority were black. And for the most part, they were able to coexist. For the most part. That is until a couple of events took place that would change the town forever. A rape allegation and a brutal murder would bring Oscarville to its knees. You'll hear more on that shortly. Oscarville was very historical, as many of the people who lived here were once slaves. And these people, they now found themselves not only free, they were freed, mind you, after they fought in the American Civil War, but many of them were able to actually buy their own land and homes, and that was a huge deal back then. And they were able to be farmers and successfully have their own livestock and manage their own businesses and what have you. And after being a slave for so long, that was a huge deal. Going from slave to soldier to, at least for many, landowners, business owners, life was starting to get really good until a series of events took place and the once thriving town of Oscarville is sold house by house by house and business by business by business and, yeah, land and land and land, finding itself extinct and submerged underwater for all eternity. hundreds of families were forced to leave behind their homes and relocate to nearby towns. And mind you, it wasn't because of the two events I'm going to talk about. This would happen years later. But Oscarville was definitely not the same after those two things took place. That's for sure. It's so sad because some of the people, they were unable to sell their land, their homes, their property. So that was a major loss for them. Homes and businesses, believe it or not, were not demolished. They were just simply submerged. Maybe it would have cost too much money to do so. I don't know. Maybe they were just lazy. But either way, one cannot help but wonder if the death toll, being over 700, mind you, and counting, would not be that high if they did demolish stuff. If there wasn't a city below water. Many of the deaths have to do with people being pulled under, whether it be from existing trees or buildings or other things that were left behind. And speaking of being left behind, it is said that the town of Oscarville had 20 cemeteries. And while many may have been exhumed and relocated, it is believed that several bodies were left behind. The history in this area surely runs deep. The Trail of Tears passed through this area ever so long ago. All That's Interesting.com talks more about the town of Oscarville. Quote, in total, 250 families were displaced. Roughly 50,000 acres of farmland were destroyed, and 20 cemeteries were either relocated or otherwise engulfed by the lake's waters over its 5-year construction period. The town of Oscarville, however, was strangely not demolished before the lake was filled, and its ruins still rest at the bottom of Lake Lanier. Divers have reported finding fully intact streets, walls, and houses, making it the single most dangerous underwater surface in the United States. The deaths at Lake Lanier aren't the typical sort, though. While there are many instances of people drowning, there are also reports of boats randomly going up in flames, freak accidents, missing persons, and inexplicable tragedies. Some believe the region's dark past is responsible for these incidents. Legend asserts that the vengeful and restless spirits of those whose graves were flooded, many of whom were black, were persecuted and driven out by violent white mobs, are behind this curse. Unquote. Now, I watched a documentary not too terribly long ago about Lake Lanier, and there are people in the area who believe this location to be extremely cursed and haunted. And then there are others who are dead set against any hauntings or curses and just poo-poo on the idea and the people who believe in that. And I mentioned earlier some really bad things that took place at Oscarville. Time.com touches on that a little bit. Quote, Lake Lanier is a man-made lake that was built over the historically black town of Oscarville. Although the community had a strong culture and economy, Oscarville residents were also subject to intense racial violence after 19-year-old May Crow, a white woman, was found dead in the nearby woods in 1912. 4 black people were blamed for the crime. One of them, Robert Big Rob Edwards, was lynched shortly after his arrest. Mobs also came into the town to drive black residents out from Forsyth County. Churches and businesses were destroyed, leading black residents to abandon their homes. Unquote. Now that's very haunting, very chilling to me. I'm a person who likes to see the proof, the evidence, the facts, and I am a person that thinks that we all matter. Every single life is precious. Black, white, Asian, Puerto Rican. I don't care what nationality or color you are. If you treat me with respect, I'll treat you with respect. That's it. It's that simple. I grew up with friends of all races, and it's very sad that these people were just like, you know, kind of chased out of town. Obviously, somebody murdered May Crow, whether it was a black person, a white person, I don't know. But like, I love to give that example that I was bullied in school, and It's like, you know, oh, I hate this whole entire race because a handful of them bullied me for several years. No, I don't like those specific people, not because of their race, but because of what they did to me. So for people of Oscarville to be just chased out of town, having to take their families and flee, they didn't have anything to do. You know, somebody had something to do with that murder of May, but not every single person that was chased out. You know, these are innocent people. And then going back to the young woman, May Crow. And that's absolutely horrible. Very heartbreaking. My heart goes out to her and her family. Now, this happened in 1912, so who knows if she has any existing family. But when you lose somebody in a way like that, murder, when you lose somebody in any way, it's hard, you know? Whether it be natural causes, suicide, freak accidents, car accident, dying in your sleep peacefully. And yes, of course, murder. Any cause of death. It's hard. You know, we miss that person. We think of them. That presence is definitely noticed that, hey, they're not here anymore. And I've lost people to murder before. And it's a different type of loss. And it's just a different type of loss. The month of September in the year of 1912 was not a good one for Oscarville or the people who called Oscarville home. In fact, some may have considered this month and that particular year to be doomed or cursed. So, September 5th, 1912, a woman comes forward to authorities claiming that she woke up from her slumber to find two black men standing over her, and she claimed that they had tried to rape her. To my knowledge, there is no proof that this happened, but altogether, five men would be apprehended for this claim. So she says two people did this, but five people are arrested for it. So a local preacher, he defended the men, and it did not sit well with the public. They were rather offended by it, actually, and they severely beat this poor man, this poor preacher. They whipped him really badly as well, and his injuries, they were life-threatening, but thankfully he survives this horrific beatdown. But the worst was yet to come for the town of Oscarville and its residents. Just 8 days after the rape allegation, Oscarville will be shaken to its absolute core. On the 13th of September, and yes, my friends, I checked, it was Friday the 13th, a young woman is found in the forest. She would be identified as May Crow. Now, evidence shows that she was raped. Her head suffered a hard blow from a rather large rock. The battered woman's body was covered by the attacker with leaves and other debris of that sort. Now, she was found shortly after the attack, and she was still alive upon the discovery, but barely. Now, I cannot even begin to fathom or imagine what this poor woman went through, being attacked, sexually assaulted, bludgeoned with a rock, have some leaves thrown on you and call it a day, being left for dead. She was barely holding on to what little morsel of life the monster left her with. May Crow, she was in a coma for 2 weeks before ultimately succumbing to her injuries. A pocket mirror was found at the scene of the attack, and people claimed that it was the property of a young black male named Ernest Knox. The 16-year-old man, he's arrested. He would not be the only one to be apprehended, mind you. You could say that it was a family affair in the public's eye, as his 18-year-old cousin, Oscar Daniel, Oscar's 22-year-old sister, Jane Daniel, and Jane's husband, Rob Edwards, better known as Big Rob, 24 years old, they were all arrested and under the microscope for this murder of the young 19-year-old woman, May Crow. So Jane, she would be acquitted of all charges. Big Rob, he was in a jail cell. The sheriff had gone home for the day. And a mob containing around 2,000 people break into the jail, get Big Rob out, and while they do put a noose over his head, I saw in a few accounts that he was actually shot to death. Then they hanged his body in town, and people celebrated his death like it was Fat Tuesday or something, and shooting more bullets into the dead man's body. Where in the account I read earlier, they said that he was lynched. So I don't know exactly what happened with Big Rob, but it didn't end good for him. Cousins Ernest Knox and Oscar Daniel, they would be found guilty of May's murder, and they would be executed by hanging. During the early 1900s, public executions, they were prohibited in this area. So with an order coming from the higher-ups, it was demanded that a blind be constructed surrounding the gallows. And the night prior to the executions, some of the locals felt the need to burn down the blind, and what should have been a private execution for these two men, well, it was a full-blown show for close to around 8,000 people. So it is heartbreaking. One person was taken by a mob and killed, and then two teenagers were executed by hanging. Now, if they did the crime, they deserve, you know, the penalty, the death penalty. But if they didn't do it, and the real murderer is still out there, or was still out there, free as a bird, that's just heartbreaking. Where's the justice in that? So while many people believed that the people that were captured were guilty and that justice was indeed served, several still thought that this was part of a racial war and that they were just being accused, wrongfully accused, and they paid the ultimate price, and that the poor woman's murderer or murderers, they were never caught. People felt that justice still needed to be served. And the day of May Crow's funeral, people began riding the streets on horseback. What was once a nice, calm, and peaceful town of Oscarville, it became a place of nightmares. They referred to themselves as the Night Riders. So, you know, many may have considered this kind of like the KKK. These people, they were on horseback, and they would wreak havoc in town, throwing firebombs, destroying businesses. Just, it was horrible. And let's face it, at this point, it was indeed a race war. So things were indeed going great in Oscarville until the rape allegations and the murder of a young teenage girl. The white community truly believed, or most of the white community truly believed, that people in the black community were responsible for both of these crimes. And we may never know what truly took place that cursed month of September in 1912. There are indeed many more questions than there are answers. Like, did the woman really have a relationship with one of the people she accused of trying to rape her? Because that's what the preacher was saying, that it was believed that one of those people, several people that was accused, actually was in a relationship with her. Was it just a cover-up to save her own skin? Or did something really happen that night? Not knowing for sure what exactly took place that day, and let's say something really did happen, she said two men were responsible. Were they the right men? And please remember, there were five people arrested for this. And so at least, even if the two people were guilty, there were three people that were definitely innocent that still were arrested and punished for this, if not all innocent. And who murdered the 19-year-old woman, May Crow? We know for a fact that that did take place. That was a very real murder. Was it a group effort, like everybody thought? And if it was a group effort, were the right people punished for this? Remember, one person was killed and two people were executed, and the other being acquitted. Were all of these people guilty? Or did the murderer, black, white, whoever the hell they were, the question remains, did they get away with murder? Again, there are just way too many questions and zilch, zero answers. But these two horrific events did bring the town of Oscarville to its damn knees. The fact that Oscarville was basically left intact, like a person concealing a blemish on their face, the entire town being concealed by water, helped contribute with several deaths and boat and other watercraft accidents that led to deaths. And due to colliding with buildings under the water and other things that were left behind. Other people, like swimmers and divers, may experience a snag or find themselves disoriented and trapped, and this will cause them to obviously, and very sadly, drown. USAtoday.com shares the death tolls from just the past few years. Both 2018 and 2019 saw 11 deaths each. The year 2020 experienced 10. 2021 saw 9. And it gets lower in 2022 with 7 deaths. Meanwhile, in 2023, it rises up again and 13 dies. The second highest number of deaths for a lake in the state of Georgia is Allatoona, which saw 3 deaths in 2023 versus Lake Lanier's 13 deaths. Now, even if one person died in a year, that's one too many. And last year, in 2024, there were 4 deaths. And so far, this year, in 2025, there have been at least 4 confirmed deaths. And let's face it, we still have a few months left in 2025. So I pray that the number does not rise. AllThat'sInteresting.com goes into more detail about the deaths. Quote, all large bodies of water present some form of inherent danger. Waves, currents, and rising tides can pull swimmers under the surface, causing them to drown. In fact, since 2010, more than 1,200 people have drowned in the Great Lakes, according to Detroit's WDIV-TV. But Lake Lanier is a fraction of the size of even the smallest Great Lake. For 700 people to have died in Lake Lanier in its 70-year history, it's out of the ordinary. Unquote. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution said, quote, more than 3 times as many people's death certificates reported them drowning at Lake Lanier than drowned in all of Georgia's coastal waters. Unquote. That's very haunting, indeed. Georgia Department of Natural Resources speaks of a man who was on a fishing boat with his wife one day, and possibly what may be considered a freak accident takes place when he tries to sit down in his seat, and something that he probably had done many a times, right? And it suddenly unbolted itself, causing him to fall right into the water. Now, sadly, the man did not surface again, and his body would be found by game wardens later on. It's very heartbreaking, for sure. Here you think you're going to have a fun day out on the water. You're in good company with your spouse. You're fishing, perhaps enjoying a cool beverage. Maybe you're listening to your favorite playlist. Or maybe you're just wanting to be out in nature and listening to the birds and the sounds of the water, and you're just taking it all in. When all of a sudden, boom, tragedy strikes. Now the death toll, it's large, and there are some people who have gone missing who have never been seen again. In May 2019, 2 men go missing after suffering a boat crash on Lake Lanier. While one body was eventually recovered, the other person remains missing to this very day. And 20 days after this took place, there would be 2 other unrelated deaths in that area. The very next month, that being June of 2019, one man jumps into the water to help a friend in distress, and sadly, he never resurfaces, and to this day, his body has never been found. Now, I didn't see anywhere that the person that he was trying to save died, so hopefully they were able to get out. Hopefully he was able to help them before he vanished, or somebody else was in the area and was able to help. But either way, this one man, he's lost out there somewhere, and that's very heartbreaking. And this year, in 2025, February, it was a sad month when a man was found near one of the boat ramps. And in May, a gentleman was reported missing after not picking up his beloved children from school. And unfortunately, a few days later, his body is found. Family and friends of the young man had shared that he had been training very hard for an upcoming triathlon and had most likely gone to Lake Lanier to kayak as part of his training routine. And less than a month after that happened, just a matter of a couple of weeks, I believe, a man is on a boat with his friends. He falls into the water, and he sadly never resurfaces. His body, it would be found a couple of days later. Something truly terrible took place here 67 years ago. Two young mothers went out for a night on the town to go dancing, and they never came back home. April 10th, 1958, Delia Mae Young and Susie Roberts decide to go over the Jerry D. Jackson Bridge, with Lake Lanier below them, into town to go dance their butts off at a nightclub. They make it to their destination, and you know, witnesses who saw the two young women there, they said that they were happy, they were having a great time, they were in good spirits. You're at a nightclub, baby, you're having fun, you're dancing. It's like, yes, good music, good company, yes. Well, the thing is, they never make it back home. That's a big problem. They leave the club, last confirmed sighting takes them to a gas station, gassing up before driving back to their respective homes. An extensive search is conducted for the two missing girls, but they come up empty-handed. The families, they're utterly heartbroken. The community, well, it's torn. Where can Delia and Susie be? How can these two mothers be laughing and dancing the night away and surrounded by people one moment, and the other moment, there is no trace of their whereabouts? Just what exactly happened to them? A year and a half after they go missing, the badly decomposed body of a woman surfaces. A local fisherman, he's under the bridge when he finds her body. What should have been a normal day of enjoying himself doing something he enjoyed very much, so fishing, turned into an absolute nightmare and something that he would absolutely never forget. You don't walk out your door and plan to bump into a body. I could only imagine what went through this poor man's head when he realized he was looking at a dead woman in the water. It is said that the moment the news hit of the gruesome discovery, Delia's brother felt something go over him, and he did not have to wait for the woman to be identified. His heart, his soul, every fiber of his being knew that woman in the water was his beloved sister Delia. She left wearing a blue dress. She danced the night away, her last night alive, unbeknownst to her or anybody else, in that blue dress. And the woman floating in the water, you guessed it, she was wearing, yes, a blue dress. The woman was identified as none other than Delia Mae Young. So half of the mystery is somewhat solved, right? Maybe not the cause of death, but it's still unknown what happened that night, obviously, but the question remains. Delia Mae Young has been found, but where the hell is Susie Roberts? Did she meet the same fate as her dear friend Delia? Where was the vehicle they were traveling in? Why did it take so long for Delia to be found? Has she been in Lake Lanier the entire time, or did she meet foul play and was later dumped there? Was it indeed foul play, or was it just an unfortunate accident? Again, there are just too many questions and not enough answers. Yet. And again, I must ask. Probably like the most important question, where is Susie Roberts? That answer would come to surface several decades after she vanished. 32 years after the two women vanish. We now are in 1990, and there are workers fixing something underneath the bridge. And what should have been a normal day, it turned out to be quite the opposite, like the fishermen finding Delia. And I am sure this day haunts them in their dreams forever. They discover an eerie sight, these workers working on the bridge. A car submerged in the dark and unforgiving waters of Lake Lanier. The car's plate verifies its owner, missing woman Susie Roberts. The cinemaholic.com shares a bit more details. Quote, workers present during the restoration efforts came across a partially submerged 1954 Ford buried under layers of mud at the bottom of Lake Lanier. Upon retrieval, human remains were found inside the car, prompting forensic analysis. Through dental records, the remains were identified as belonging to Susie, finally bringing closure to her decades-long disappearance. It was determined that the car had plunged off the bridge during their journey back, resulting in the deaths of both Susie and Delia. With Susie's body identified, Delia's remains were also officially recognized, allowing her unmarked grave to be properly named. Unquote. Now, for 32 years, the Roberts family went to bed every single night not knowing where their beloved Susie was. Her children, forced to grow up without a mother. They most likely knew her fate was not a good one, as Delia had been found less than 2 years after the disappearance. And what were the odds that Susie would be alive when her dear friend, who was with her that same night, was found dead in the water? Susie, she's finally been found. That has to be the worst thing ever. You have a loved one missing and they just never turn back up. And I'd talked to a woman through Facebook Messenger whose daughter went missing and is presumed murdered by the hands of her unborn baby's father, which, by the way, he still refuses to share to this very day where the body is at, which is beyond, sorry to say, fucked up. And she had said to me through Messenger that she has come to terms with the fact that her daughter's dead, but she wants to bring her baby and grandbaby home so they can have a respectful and proper burial, a place where she could visit them. She said that that's the worst, not knowing where they are. It's just utterly heartbreaking. So it may have taken over 3 decades, but I'm hoping that Susie Roberts still has some surviving family, and that when, you know, they were able to hear that news that she finally was found, she didn't just run off or something, you know? And it doesn't seem like it was foul play. It just seems like it was a horrible car accident. They were on the bridge, they go off into the water, and that really is heartbreaking. And I hate to say the word closure, but at least they know where she is now and they have some answers, if you will. Many times people have been in the water and have felt someone or something yanking and tugging at their legs and pulling them under. While many times people have been able to walk away from this, thankfully, this ever so terrifying incident, many would be pulled down to their watery graves. So I must ask, is it the spirits, the ever so angry spirits from the several cemeteries at Oscarville that was submerged? Or maybe the people who were accused of something that maybe they had nothing to do with and paid the price with their life? Or maybe it's the buildings, the structures that were never torn down, just standing there waiting to claim their next victim. Or maybe it's all the above. Maybe it's a mixture of it all, right? So there's a woman, an apparition of a woman, mind you, and she's been seen on a bridge, and she's always wearing this pretty blue dress. Huh, blue dress. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, it should. That's what Delia Mae Young was wearing that day she vanished, and that's what she was seen wearing when her body was found in the water by that fisherman. Bless his heart, that fateful day. Many people truly believe that the lady in the lake wearing the blue dress is none other than Delia herself. Native Americans, they have been seen wandering the area as well. And to this very day, Lake Lanier is considered one of the most haunted lakes in America, which is no easy feat. And yes, some do believe it's cursed. Whether you believe in curses or hauntings, know that several people have died here and continue to die here. Now, whether that is from angry spirits pulling people under, freak accidents, boating accidents, or colliding with sunken buildings from extinct Oscarville, or again, a combination, please know that it is very real. Curse or no curse, people have died here. And it is considered an extremely dangerous area if you're not cautious, if you're not careful. So, if you do come here, just be safe, be careful, and have a great time. And get back home safely to your loved ones.
That concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single one yet. No need to cry or lose sleep over. You can hit up any of those awesome podcast platforms now and binge listen to your heart's fright and delight, such as Apple Podcasts, Downcast, Blueberry, Hubhopper, Listen Notes, Pocket Casts, Radio Public. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcasts lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and
I will see you next week.